Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network since 2009. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Salonia. Our next guest is Jeff Buck, who is a professional cheesemonger by day and a funny man comedian by night. He currently works at DTLA Cheese, owned by Lydia and Marnie Clark and Reed Herrick, and produces three different comedy shows in Los Angeles, working with talents such as Patton Oswalt and Nikki Glaser. He's also host of the Say Cheese podcast. Jeff, welcome to Cutting the Curd.
Hey, Joe, thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here.
This is my first show back after the summer break. You've been on my mind, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about what you have going on in your world. And like, what is this? What a combination, cheese and comedy together. What could be better? So how did you get into this cheese comedy amalgamation? How did that come together?
Yeah, so I moved to New Orleans in my 20s. I was working as a prep cook at some corporate restaurant, working like 60 to 80 hours a week just to pay the bills. And I moved to a bigger city to kind of perform more comedy more frequently. But because of the job I had, I didn't really have time to go out at night and do those things. It wasn't really allotting me the time. So a friend of mine happened to be over at my apartment one day, and he kind of just looked at me in my stupid little chef coat and my stupid hat that they made me wear at this job. And he was like, just kind of bluntly told me, he's like, do you want a new job? You want a different job? And I was like, I would love a new job. So he suggested I go down to St. James Cheese Company, which is the cheese shop there in New Orleans, for an interview. Showed up to the interview in full chef pants, coat, hat, knife bag, all that, as professional as I could be. But not really the environment that the kitchen there was. So they all kind of just like laughed at me for coming dressed to the T. But I did get the job. So it worked out. And I kind of just, you know, so I stumbled into cheese.
So you scored the cheese job.
Yeah, exactly. I scored that cheese job and I stumbled into cheese. I wanted the, because I just wanted the job. And then they would let me go out at night and perform comedy. And I kind of just fell in love with cheese from there. Like, you know, and I feel like performing comedy and selling cheese are very similar at times, especially if you're behind a cheese case. You know, it's like being on stage sometimes. It gives me, you know, you kind of trying out jokes to break the ice of people and things of that sort.
And how long did this, so right at the very start of you doing cheese at St. James, what year are we talking about? How many years ago was that?
Oh, start of St. I would say that was about 10 years ago. I think that was around 2013, 2014. So I'd say about 10 years ago.
And did you get right into comedy at that time, or were you already in comedy? And did you just start to do this symbiotic tag team?
Yeah, I had always been into comedy for sure. I was doing comedy like in fifth grade talent shows, doing sketches. I started doing stand up at 14 at all age venues and in my hometown of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And once I turned 18, I just was any bar that had an open mic and things of that sort, I would definitely perform at all the time. So comedy was no matter, like I knew from a very young age, like I want to do comedy. And then the cheese just kind of came along later on. And I was like, oh, I think I want to do cheese and comedy. And it's been quite a combination.
So how do you use that? How do you use that combination? Does the cheese help the comedy more, or does the comedy help the cheese more?
Yeah, I would say maybe the comedy for me helps the cheese more. I feel like I learn a lot about cheese, because of the comedy. You know, I find it easier to learn anything when I can tie humor into the subject. So I don't know if everyone operates that way, but I love jokes and I love bits. So if you're teaching me something and you sprinkle in a joke about that thing, it'll be easier for me to remember it. So there's like the phrase, there's a grain of truth in every joke. And usually in order for a joke to be funny, it has to be factual. So if I'm going to make jokes about cheese, I need to know that cheese. So an elementary example of that would be, you know, I wouldn't say your story is full of holes. It stinks. It's like cheddar cheese. That isn't funny because cheddar cheese doesn't have holes. The punchline should be Swiss cheese. That was a very bad example. But, you know, you get what I'm saying.
I feel you, though. I feel you. The crafting of the jokes and the base knowledge of cheese, you must obviously have a base knowledge of cheese. I've been with you and I've seen you at work. I've seen you at the cheese counter. You're a legit cheesemonger. I've listened to a lot of your Say Cheese podcast. You have a lot of in-depth stories about different kinds of cheese. So does that seem to be the default? Like the more you learn about cheese, it just seems to generate more of your comedic mind maybe along the way? Or is it part of your survival skill to keep funny? Because in this world, what are we if we're not, you know, keeping some levity to our work on an everyday basis?
Yeah, for sure. If you want to get on a deeper level, I think 100% I use like humor as a deflective, like survival technique, I guess to kind of spearhead through life and let things roll off the back. It's better to just kind of laugh things off. I guess like the more I learn about cheese, the more the comedy grows, I guess, in a sense. Yeah, I think because the more I learn about anything, the more humor I can develop as well.
Yeah, and I remember during this Fête de Fromage, just really big cheese fest that I traveled down to New Orleans for in 2019, November 2019, when the world was a different place.
Yeah.
You had a live version of your Say Cheese podcast. And that was, you had a lot of different elements. You had music, you had like, I think a DJ, you had like a side man, we were backstage, we were on stage, we had lights. You had a whole production going.
Yeah. So I guess I could talk more about that podcast in general. So I did use like, I used that podcast, the Say Cheese podcast was like an educational podcast about cheese, but it was like humor was the main crux of it. Like it was a comedy podcast at the end of the day as well. So I kind of used it as a vessel to learn and things like that. And, I think the live version of that podcast just kind of like grew organically because of that festival that, St. James Cheese Company was putting on and New Orleans or help put on in New Orleans. It was a right place, right time where I was like, oh, let me just kind of collaborate with them, piggyback with them and have like a little after party event at one of the local venues for after this festival. So we did like a later night live show, this cheese podcast, since all these cheese professionals were going to be in the area. And it was a lot of fun. So I think like, that did help grow a lot of like, comedy stuff for me. It opened a lot of new doors just having that podcast, getting to work with a lot of different comedians and a lot of different people in the cheese industry of that sort. And that was a fun, wild time, that live show. We did a lot of cool games with like love, marry, and cheese or something like that. Love, marry, kill, but like with cheese related. I can't remember all the little games we did in there. We had people blind test smells and we would like hold up Grayson and smelly cheeses and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. I love to see that again. I love to see that broadcast because that was before the pandemic, which was a mind. Let's face it, the pandemic was a mind erasing event for all of us, right? and was it the pandemic that? I mean, it's insane how things happened before then. You have to really look back and see copies of it. For me, anyway, I have a hard time remembering a lot of things before then, career wise. But what was it, the pandemic that helped you, had you move to Los Angeles? What led to moving to Los Angeles?
I was in Los Angeles before the pandemic. I just kind of flew out to New Orleans at that time to just do that event. But I moved to Los Angeles early of 2019. So I'd say like March of 2019, I believe, is when I moved to Los Angeles. I started the podcast before the pandemic and it was going well. And it was actually the pandemic that kind of deflated my tires with that podcast. And, you know, doing things like this with you guys, you know, it's like kind of made me, you know, want to revisit, maybe bring that podcast back in some sort of way. It might be a different angle I do it at. I've definitely had thoughts about that. But so I was in LA a little bit before that, but who knows? Who knows what'll happen with the say cheese of it all and doing more events like that. Cause I do miss doing those things.
Yeah. And now you're currently producing three different comedy shows in Los Angeles, and it's in a monthly show at Lydia and Reed's bar, the Tin Fish bar called Kippered. Can you tell us a little more? How's all that working? How does that work? What do you got going on there? Sorry. Let's back up. I just want to explain to the audience. Tell us the cheese shop that you work at now. I might have mentioned DTLA Cheese really quickly, but just would you mind explaining that too?
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. So I'm working at DTLA Cheese Superette right now in Los Angeles, and I've been with that company for about 5 years now. Lydia and Reed are extremely kind to me. They help build up my comedy. I would do when I first met them, I was doing comedy shows on the patio of the food market called Grand Central Market, where their cheese shop was located. And, I would make it cheese themed, and they would donate the cheese boards and help promote it. So it's kind of like tying in my work relation with my comedy passion as well, just because they were so supportive of me. And even now, they like you mentioned, they did open a new wine bar about last year. So it's been open a little over a year now, a Tin Fish and wine themed called Kippered. And it's located next to their cheese shop, which is called DTLA Cheese Superette. They moved out of Grand Central Market. They are now located on the corner of 4th and Broadway, which is next to Grand Central Market. I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you, but I hope you're keeping up. And so just to recap, they've got DTLA Cheese Superette, and then right next door is their wine bar, Kippered. So boom, boom, right next to each other. And they've been kind enough to embrace my production skills and everything like that. And they've allowed me to produce a monthly comedy show at their bar. So that comedy show is called Sardines Comedy, to kind of tie in with the Tin Fish of it all. And it's a short, compact, tightly fit comedy show in the back of the bar. It's been a lot of fun. We've done about 3 or 4 of those shows now.
Wow. I mean, how lovely. It sounds like you're connected, you're supported, you're in the cheese community. I mean, I think that's a perfect example of how we support each other in the cheese community. So, I don't want to speak for you, but that, do you feel supported and connected in this manner? The fact that you're working as a cheesemonger, the owners are embracing, setting you up for success here with your other passion projects.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely feel supported and connected in my immediate cheese community as a comedian. It's funny when you work in the service industry or any blue collar environment and you decide to start being vocal about your passion projects, especially in a kitchen, sometimes there can be a bit of ball busting, so to speak. However, I find in like cheese shops and those tied to cheese, to the cheese community, it's a community full of artists and it's full of creatives is what I find. And so I think because cheese itself is it's a delicate thing, and there's an art to cheese. So all the way down to the packaging of it, the design of the labels, the shapes of the wheels, the stories that we tie to them. Comedians are storytellers and cheese makers are storytellers. So I feel like I can be myself in this community, and I'm very well accepted, and everyone just wants to build each other up. It seems like a very open and loving community from my experience.
That's what I love most about our community, is that it is full of artists and creatives, and there's so many interesting parallels in our industry between all of those channels and fields. And so I'm guessing that this leads to some kind of anecdotal comparisons or stories about cheese, things that you've seen, like if you visited a farm or dairy, and then how you might be able to use humor to help you recall or remember either being there or the joke. Are there anecdotes that you're that you play with, whether it's based on real legend or just your own musings and stories?
Yeah, for sure. I use humor a lot to remember certain cheeses. For instance, when I was doing my podcast, I remember I did an episode on Tarentaise cheese. Tarentaise cheese is a cheese from Springbrook Farms in Reading, Vermont. There's a lot to unpack about the cheese itself. It's a wonderful cheese. It's a homage to Beaufort cheeses of the Tarentaise Valley of the French Alps, but it's made in Vermont. So anyways, I happened to look up When I was researching this cheese, I happened to look up the census for Reading, Vermont, to kind of learn more about that town. And there were 666 people living in that town when the census was done. I think that was like in 2010 or 2020, something like that. So I made the joke, whatever, that was like, oh, 666 people, 666. This is the devil's cheese, you know, just as like a dumb little joke. But it helped me remember it, right? So, and it also helps like make the sales with customers sometimes. Maybe some gothic teen walks into the cheese shop. Boom, let me tell you about the devil cheese. You know, I give it a funny anecdote, but then I can go from there, breaking the ice with the funny, the little anecdote, and then teach them about the making of the Alpine style cheese and the cool significance behind it, and really give them like the deeper story and meaning behind it. So yeah, I think like stuff like that, or the, you know, there's more examples. Like if you look at Roquefort, there's the Roquefort legend of the guy leaving his lunch in the cave and then coming back like a few days later to see that it had molded, and he smelled it and tasted it. And then that's how, you know, that's the legend of Roquefort and how that was born. Whether that's true or not, who knows, but you know.
It's all those tales help you remember and tell the story. And that's what the work is at the counter, to getting folks to kind of have a little story, maybe to bring home. I love anecdotes, but my anecdotes are usually applied more in my, like a cheese education class maybe. So I might make a point for a different reason, but I might bring up my Uncle Louie. If I'm making a point about fermented foods, and then Uncle Louie comes up, you know, he's like, you know, he might, you know, cause every time I'll complain maybe about my stomach hurting, he's like, you know, Joe, you know why your stomach hurts? It's because from eating all that raw sushi fish. You know, you need to eat a nice sandwich. You know, maybe some bruschetta, some mozzarella. You know, that's what you need to be. None of that sushi. And I'm like, Uncle Louie, you know, prosciutto is a raw pig's ass cheek. You know that, right? And then his like head explodes. He's like, what are you talking about? It's not raw. It's prosciutto. I'm like, that's all right, Louie. Just keep it. You have your sandwich. I love sandwiches too, Uncle Louie. Let's have a sandwich, you know? But that'll be my roundabout way of.
I feel like Uncle Louie was in the room just now with us.
Uncle Louie, he tends to show up when food shows up.
Yeah.
You know, he tends to hover. What do you got? You know, he likes sharp cheese. Uncle Louie likes sharp cheese. You know, he'll always make a point to give him something sharp and flavorful. You know, nothing weird. You know, just give me something normal. None of the goat's cheeses. You know, just something normal. It's like, all right, Uncle Louie, here you go. You know, he likes sharp. Everything's compared to sharp provolone. That's his benchmark, you know, sharp provolone. And then that's the center of his universe for cheese, you know? So, but we love Uncle Louie. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. What about like dairy farms? You visit many of these, you get out much, do you get to, or have excursions to understanding some of the stories, or do you get to read about them?
Yeah, I would love to visit more dairy farms. I've been to maybe a few, but I love reading about dairy. I really love to read about dairy farms, and I like learning. I think like hearing about the farms helps me learn more about the cheese. Hearing about the cheese makers and stuff gets me a better understanding of cheese. You know, you have to imagine these farms are essentially homes for people. And if they aren't immediate homes, they are workplaces where people are spending majority of their time. So I don't know about you, but some of the funniest jokes I heard come from work. Or, you know, the home's like with Uncle Louie, you know, and he's like, hey, you know, I can imagine Uncle Louie on a farm, you know, just visiting and just kind of like making jokes around and things like silly things that happen to work. So I think those, you know, I think the farm itself and stuff could lead to like funny stuff and funny anecdotes too. For example, if you look at Springbrook's farm again in Reading, Vermont, I remember reading that they have different sources for their milk. So they source milk from different farms at times. So they built this like custom truck to transport milk from one farm to the other. And when I saw pictures of the truck, it just looked like they just took like F-150 and they just cut the bed out and put a big tank of milk in the back. And I thought that was kind of funny. And I started imagining like what other vehicles you could modify to transport milk. You could modify it El Camino and call it a milk Camino. I thought that would be funny. Or instead you could,
nice, yeah.
You could have like a Lamborghini Diablo, but you could have it a Cowborghini Diablo if it's cow's milk. And then if you have the Diablo in there, it works because we established this, the devil's cheese with the 666 census. So it all came back full circle.
Yeah.
Very silly.
I love that. Uncle Louie would be proud.
Yeah. So now you're never going to forget about Terran Tapes because it comes from the Milk Camino of 666. Easy stuff. But yeah, I love that stuff.
It sticks in your head that way. It sticks in your head that way.
Yeah, Uncle Louie. You know, hey, yeah. this kid's sharp. Sharp like provolone, you know? I feel like we all have an Uncle Louie.
Yeah, he asked me the other day, or last time I saw him, hey, Joe, is it true they're starting to milk goats now in the United States? Is that true? I'm like, yeah, Uncle Louie, they do that. They do that now. It's, yeah, 2023.
Jim Gaffigan has a great joke about, speaking of comedians, Jim Gaffigan is like the cheese joke god, by the way. I don't know if anyone's a fan of Jim Gaffigan, but he's got a lot of jokes about cheese. And one of them is about milking goats. He's like, I bet... He's like, he's talked about like eating goat cheese, and he's like, or his goats just call it cheese. He's like, I never looked at a goat and thought, I bet that would make good cheese. He's like, who was like, this cow cheese is good, but do you see that dog that looks like it smoked meth? I bet that would make good cheese.
Who would milk a goat? He got a lot of food jokes, but yeah, he's a whole compartment. He probably had a whole listing of cheese jokes. Like, I think he mentioned something that, I remember a spray cheese joke he talked about too. He's into the spray cheese.
I do remember he had a spray cheese joke. Yeah. He's like, how lazy do you have to be to where you're like, I like cheese, but can we just make it spray? I remember that joke. That was good.
Yeah. So I haven't seen spray cheese in a while, but we're surrounded by beautiful cheese. We don't need the spray cheese, but I love hearing jokes about spray cheese. It kind of keeps us grounded, you know, keeps us grounded. But hey, Jeff, hang out for a second. We're going to take a short break here, and then I want to dig into more about what's going on in your world. So just hang out a second. We're going to hear a real quick message from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City, Long Island, and Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're here chatting with cheesemonger and comedian Jeff Buck here on Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. Jeff, we were just talking about a lot of fun cheese bits. We were mentioning Jim Gaffigan, and then we were mentioning sometimes you work some bits into your stand-up gigs. Do you draw from other bits that you've seen online, or do you have poems or songs or parodies that you like to work in that are openers or closers or part of your evening, or do you tell mostly non-cheese content and keep your cheese jokes for when you're doing just the cheese podcast? Like, how does that work?
Honestly, I don't have a lot of cheese jokes in my stand-up act itself. Maybe I should try to incorporate some more, but I have I've written some cheese stuff. I mean, there's definitely a lot of iconic and famous cheese jokes from other people out there that I love to hear. I have some stuff I've done myself with cheese. I wrote a cheese song one time. I think it was even for that live show that we did in New Orleans together. It was called "I Feel Like Cheese," and it's just, you know, a song. And sometimes when you feel like cheese, I don't know if I'll sing it. It's more of like I'll read it as a poem. Maybe it will work better on the podcast because I don't have a full had like a beat. Yeah, it could go better with like a live band or a beat or something like that. But the song, the poem, it'll go like this. It'll say like, "I feel like cheese." And then someone will echo, like cheese. And then I go, I'm stinky, but I'm classy. I'm stinky, but I'm classy. Don't think that you'll outlast me. I'm stinky, but I'm classy. And then I say, I'm stinky, but I'm classy. Don't think that you'll outlast me. I dress for less, but I still impress. I'm a mess, but I'm still the best. Unlike the rest, I'm sort of fresh. Smell the funk all on my breath. Gouda, mozz, feta, cheddar, whatever you craft, mine is better. American singles don't stretch like elastic. You're gunning for the top, but how's it shoot if it's plastic? I'm all washed up and I smell like feet, but I'm still in the cut at the party like cheese. Like cheese, and then you just repeat again. I feel like cheese, like cheese. It's a fun time. Maybe I'll post it somewhere publicly for people to hear.
We need a beat machine. We need a beat machine for that.
Yeah, if you put a beat on, maybe I'll do it a little better. But it's fun. I think I have it recorded somewhere.
We need to get more sophisticated with our engineering for the next time.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
That's an original though. That's original. That's your original song. The audience might like to hear. Who knows? Maybe we'll open or close with it.
Sure, I can send you the file. I have a recording of it somewhere. it's fun. It's fun.
The farthest I've ever gone to this point is I can only, parody an already famous song that's already been written. That's the best I've done. I haven't come up with an original yet, but when there was, we did a cheese karaoke at the ACS not long ago, it's still fresh in our minds. What are the delays, the delays of the port delays. From 2021 to 2022, real brutal, even from 2020 to 2022, and even early into this year. They were pretty brutal, month-long, 6 weeks, 4 weeks was just normal. Sometimes stuff went to Jamaica first, and then it would come back to the USA, come back to the port. It would go to the port of New York, get denied. The line was too long. They had other stops to make. It would go south, come back north. I mean, it was brutal. But this motivated me to come up with some kind of song about the delay. So to the tune of Living on a Prayer. Well, Bon Jovi, they first wrote the song about delays at port. They had the foresight. They knew that there was going to be delays. So they had the song. It was called Waiting on Gruyere, but then they changed it to Living on the Prayer. They changed it.
Okay, I'm with you.
But it first started out as Waiting on Gruyere. But do you want to hear how that goes?
I do. I'm waiting, anxious. I want to hear this.
Okay. Well, so it's just the chorus. It's one line. It's, whoa, the boat's not there. Whoa, waiting on Gruyere. There ain't no way it's coming in by air. Whoa, waiting on Gruyere. Waited on
Wow, that was Joe. You can sing, man. That was impressive. Oh, that reminds that leads to so you say Bon Jovi. What if his name was Anchovy, and he was an anchovy, and he had a different song that was like the song would be like what's that song that he had, like Hook Through the Mouth, and it's not fair. I don't know. something about getting hooked, and then
you give love a bad name.
Yeah. You give fish a bad name. Maybe, who knows? Whatever. All right, you get it. Someone else write that parody. But the name Anchovy is there. It's waiting for it. Anyways,
I like that. That could be a fish. A tin fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Gruyere cheese parodies, but maybe there's a new genre would be tin fish parodies. That would be really going deep. The audience would love that. The audience, I think, likes parodies.
Oh, for sure, dude. We'll start our own band of just tin fish and cheese parodies, and we'll sell out arenas.
At least at solid cheese stores or small halls. We can have some fun. We can have our own cheese rave. That's what I think all we need right now. We don't need to even sell out one of these big arenas. I think our community really thrives on getting together and just having these cathartic, fun releases. Everybody's working so hard. Everybody's up against some stress. So when we get together, it's almost like we're all really vibing on that wavelength. It's like we all feel it. We all know how difficult this work can be, right? That's what's beautiful about our community, is that we all on some level are like commiserating and celebrating at the same time. That's what I love about our community.
Yeah, it's true. I love that. I love going to any of the cheese festivals and meetups are always a good time.
And how about, I'm imagining you must have some celebrity impressions that have something to do with cheese or food or kippered fish or something. What about that? How about you? Do you have anything brewing on that front?
Yeah. You were impressing me with the Uncle Louie end of it all. So I was trying to think of like what impressions I'm good at. I'm not great at impressions. I'm not one of the comics that does the impressions usually, but if I had to pick some, I could do an, I think everyone could do an Owen Wilson. So it'd be like, this is my impression of Owen Wilson, maybe opening up a funky Taleggio. He's like, wow, that smells. Wow. So there's that. I mean, you know, you just get the, wow, that's a funky cheese. Wow. All right.
Okay.
You know, so you've got Owen Wilson there. Who else? I mean, do you have a Christopher Walken? Everyone can do a Christopher Walken. I feel like you could do a Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I do have a Christopher Walken because, I mean, he's one of the top five to try to, grab. And even a bad impression of him is fun, I think. So hopefully mine will just fall somewhere in there. But actually, he's here.
You got him for the podcast? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I got him to show up because, you know, he likes cheese. So Christopher. Joe, I'm so glad you asked. I do love cheese. It's so odoriferous. Please bring me some Emmentaler. Wow. How'd you know? I love cheese. That's about all I got. Thank you, Christopher.
That was good. Yeah.
And now after this conversation, I think I love cheese.
It almost went to an Arnold a little bit there. Christopher sounded a little Arnold, more of like a.
That's right. He was getting into a little Arnold.
Now everyone does Trump these days too. You could do one of those. Like, it's the best cheese. Everyone knows the best cheese is the mustard. I can't do that. I can't. Again, I'm very bad at it.
Matthew McConaughey.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. Yeah, I like Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, everybody's like, all right.
Yeah. All right. The best thing about aged cheese, I get older, it tastes even better. You know, whatever. That's so stupid. The best thing about a young cheese, I get older, it stays the same age. 4 month cheddar. Anyways.
So we're just arming you with your next stage gig. You got plenty of new material now. See, we see what's happening here on the show at Cutting the Curd. Cutting the Curd serves all channels, comedy channels, and our cheese community.
I don't know if this will make it. This might make it behind the cheese case. I don't know if it'll make it on stage, but it could, you know, who knows.
So what's next for you in cheese or comedy? Now you were rubbing elbows with Patton Oswalt and Nikki Glaser, some big names. Does this mean you're like on the path to opening up a comedy club that specializes in cheese tasting and salumi boards? Like, are you getting, you know, opening your own channel here? I mean, this is some big names you've been hanging out with there.
Yeah, no, I mean, thank you. I've been very fortunate and very blessed to, and lucky to be able to work with some of the comedians that I've worked with recently. But no, I don't think I'm going to open up a comedy club. As much as I love producing shows, I'd like to be on a stage more than behind the stage. I do, however, you know, I fantasize about doing like a cheese tour or something of that nature where I, you know, we were talking about dairy farms earlier and hanging out with cheese people. If I could find a way to like travel around to different dairy farms or cheese shops or something of that nature, whatever that looks like, and perform comedy to this community of cheese people, call it like, I don't know, the cheesy joke tour or something. I could bring some other comedian friends with me or source some of the funny comedians in their local cities and towns. I think that would be a lot of fun. If anyone listening is interested in having me come to their shop, their farm, whatever, and do that, reach out to me. Let's see what we can do. Maybe I can make that work. I love going on the road and doing comedy. And if I can center that around cheese, I mean, that'd be even better. You know, keep the cheese wheels turning, baby. Let's go. I don't know. It could be fun. Reach out to me. If you're interested in that, reach out to me.
I think the world could always use more comedy. So why not? I mean, since you know cheese, I would hit up every cheese festival function convention and see if they want you to, in there to some capacity. Why not? you know?
Yeah, we can bring you out too, get you singing some Bon Jovi covers and some parody. We can do a little cheesy karaoke night.
Yeah. Oh, that's already happening, you know, right? I haven't seen you at the last ACS or two, but that's already a thing. Tom Perry. So you could follow him at Thomas the Monger. Give Tom Perry a plug. He's just been on Cutting the Curd last episode or two. He does one of the many hats he wears is that he runs a cheese karaoke called Midnight Mongers. And that's been catching on since 2018. It took a break in 20. And then, So the first time he had a live band support, the cause, out in Des Moines in just this past summer. So it was super tight. It was, I think really the way to go. It was exciting.
Well, yeah, I need to hit up Tom then. We could do a little pre comedy show and then we'll do karaoke after or something. That could be fun. I don't know. We'll see.
That you should definitely write a note to him, hit him up. It'll be, you know, but it's happening in Buffalo this year. So maybe, that's a big, big journey for you, but yeah, hit him up. See what's possible. You never know.
I like Buffalo. They got good wings. They got good sauce.
I know. That's how it got its name. Right. What other shows or plugs? So you want to explain anything more or plug what's going on? I mean, what's happening like this month, this week, in the next 6, 7, 8 weeks? What's happening?
I guess this comes out either today or tomorrow while we're recording. So yeah, if you're in the LA area, just in general, if you want to check us out, check me out. I produce some shows. So the Comedy Basement is a show that I do every, or it's in the Grand Central Market once a month, and the next one will be October 26th. The Comedy Patio is also a show I do once a month, maybe more frequent. Fingers crossed, we're going to try and do that more frequently soon here at Grand Central on the patio of Grand Central, believe it or not. I just like to pick locations and put comedy before the name. That's how I do my shows, apparently. And that one is actually this Wednesday, if you're in the area, it's Wednesday. Both of those shows are free, and those are the shows that you've seen people like recently Patton Oswalt, Nikki Glaser, Eliza Schlesinger, Trevor Wallace, you know, fun, cool comedians and things like that. And then the newest show is Sardines Comedy. That's the one I was talking about that we do at the Kippered Wine Bar next to the cheese shop, and that's been a lot of fun. We just had one this past Wednesday. I think we're going to try and do that the first Wednesday every month. And we just had Doug Benson on that last most recent one. I did a character called Sammy the Sardine. He made an appearance. He's kind of the mascot of the show. Kind of has an Uncle Louie accent. He's pretty fun. The people love him. And those are fun. So, yeah, those are the three shows I'm producing right now. They're all really fun. Maybe I'll do Return of the Say Cheese podcast. Who knows? Maybe I can get that going again. But yeah, just in general, follow me on my social accounts at Funny as Buck to kind of keep up with anything and everything I'm doing. If you really want to check me out,
right on. Well, I certainly hope in some way you make a return of the Say Cheese podcast. I really enjoyed it, and I still enjoy listening to your past episodes. And yeah, so Jeff, thanks so much for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your time and your insights about what's going on in the comedic world, comedy channels, and what you have going on with cheese. And hopefully our audience can find some inspiration between either of those topics.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here. I do just real quick before I leave, I just want to reiterate that I think that, cheese and comedy are very closely tied together. It's always talking about cutting the cheese as farts. Fart jokes are funny. So I love being funny, and I love being involved in this community. And I think there's always going to be a place for humor where there is cheese. So thanks for having me and letting me speak on your program. I'm a big fan.
Awesome, man. Come back again sometime. Hope to talk to you soon, and we hope to follow your work.
Yeah, we'd love to come back sometime soon.
All right, everyone. You could follow Jeff Buck on Instagram at funnyasbuck. And you could follow us on Instagram at Cutting the Curd and follow me at Sting Chef. Please listen and subscribe to Cutting the Curd via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, please give us a higher 4-star or 5-star rating if you like us a lot. It will mean so much and also really help us broaden our audience. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And if you love someone, send them cheese. We'll be right back.
is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.